Good morning. For the past several weeks, we've been emphasizing the fact that one thing is needful. We noticed several weeks ago that one thing Jesus said to Martha was that good thing that would not be taken from Mary, and we talked about that. We realize that today there's many things that we're concerned about, many questions we have about the future, and nobody knows what the future holds for us in regards to the affairs of this life. I think that it's fitting, and in keeping with what we've been looking at, that we remain certain about the one thing that is needful. And to do that, I want us to look at some of the things that Paul was certain about. Paul was certain that he could do all things through Christ, as Philippians 4 and verse 13 tells us. Very familiar passage to us. He says, I've learned how to live in times of plenty. I've learned how to live in times of great need. But I have learned that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. With our focus on Christ, that's what Paul's focus was on. In those times of great distress, in times of even his great plenty, when he had everything that he had need of, he remained focused on Christ. And I think that goes back to some principles that we see throughout the Bible. In Exodus chapter 3 and verses 11 and 12, Moses said to God, when God called Moses out of the land that he was dwelling in and was a shepherd at that particular time, God appeared to him in a bush that appeared to be on fire, and was speaking to him and said, Moses, I want you to go back and demand that Pharaoh let my people go and lead them into the land that was promised to Abraham and your ancestors. And Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? I've been gone from Egypt for 40 years. I'm on the run. I'm on the lam, they used to say. I can't go back to Egypt. If I go back there, you know, who knows what would happen to me. I'm a shepherd out here. I'm nobody. Who am I? And God said to him, I will certainly be with you. Moses had a lot of concerns about going back to Egypt. But the only thing he really needed to be concerned about is what God wanted him to do. And the fact that God was going to be with him every step of the way in doing God's will. In Joshua 1 and verse 5, we find that promise that was made to Moses was also made to Joshua. God said, as I was with Moses, I will also be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. In Matthew 28 and verse 20, that principle was stated again by Jesus as he was about to depart to be with his Father, to ascend to heaven and be at the right hand of God. He told the apostles that they were to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We are still in that age, and Christ is still with those who will observe to do all things that he has commanded. Hebrews 13 and verse 5, the Hebrew writer makes this point to all who believe on him and trust in him. He himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Paul was certain that he could do all things through Christ because he was certain that Christ would not leave him. He was certain that Christ would be with him as long as he did the will of God. We can be certain of the same thing. that he will not leave us, he will not forsake us, he will certainly be with us. He could do all things through Christ with his commitment to Christ and with our commitment to Christ. He will not forsake us. Philippians 4 and verse 9, here we read, he's just a few verses before verse 13, he says, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do." Paul said, the things that you learned from me, the things that you received from me, the things that you saw in me, the example that I set for you, these things you do also. And the God of peace will be with you. Paul was committed to Christ and to the message of Christ, to the mission of Christ to seek and save that which was lost. And he was certain that Christ would be with him in all things. 2 John verse 6 says, "This is love, that we walk according to his commandments." What does it mean to love God? I wonder how many different questions you would, or answers you would get to that question if you were just to ask people on the street, ask people standing in line at Walmart or wherever you might be, what does it mean to love God? You get a lot of different answers, wouldn't you? I wonder how many would say, this is the love of God, that you keep his commandments. Which is exactly what Jesus said in John 14, if you love me, keep my commandments. Notice he goes on to say, this is the commandment, that if you heard from me from the beginning, that you should walk in it. Be committed to keeping his commandments. I'm thinking about next week, looking at a lesson in regards to those commandments and paying attention to those commands, the nature of his commandments. As we have this certainty in Christ, and that certainty that we are in Christ, and that certainty that Christ is with us, it's all dependent upon us loving God and displaying that love by keeping his commandments. In Joshua chapter 1 and verses 5 through 9, we noticed the first part of this just a little bit ago when God gave that promise to Joshua that he had given to Moses, I will be with you. In verse 5 again it says, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. As we come to verse 7, he says, only be strong and very courageous, that you observe to do according to all the law of Moses, my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it. Do not turn to the right. Do not turn to the left. That you may prosper wherever you go. You want to prosper wherever you go? Keep the commandments of God. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Now, the specifics of the law that we are to keep is different from the specifics that was given to Moses and Joshua and the children of Israel, the Ten Commandments, the law of Moses. But the principle of meditating on his word, the word of Christ, the law of Christ, and observe to do it according to all that is written in it, that principle remains. That if we want to be in Christ and we want to have confidence in spite of what circumstances might be in our life, this principle remains. Observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. We'd all like to have good success, wouldn't we? We'd all like to be prosperous. We'd all like to have the things that are needful. It all comes down to his word and continuing in his word, our commitment to doing his will. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Have not I commanded you, God says? If I've given you a commandment, am I going to depart from you? No. Place your confidence in me. And again, these words that were spoken to Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, says the Lord. Your God is with you wherever you go. Paul was certain. In times of uncertainty, he was certain that God was with him because he loved God and he kept his commandments. Paul was certain that he had a perfect Savior. Colossians 3 and verse 24 says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward. Know this. Don't think it. Don't feel it. Know this, that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ Jesus. Notice that in spite of suffering, Paul remained focused. In spite of the uncertainties that was in his life, he remained focused on this one thing, and he remained certain of the salvation that he had in Christ. A couple of passages that we can look at. 2 Corinthians 11 and verses 23 through 30 reads, are they ministers? Now, at Corinth, there were false teachers at Corinth. And they were talking about, they were glorying in their knowledge, their wisdom, especially of their ancestors going all the way back to the time of Moses and all those types of things. And they were saying that you need to be circumcised, you need to keep the Sabbath day, you need to do this and that and all kinds of other things that were according to the Mosaic law and not the law of Christ. They were speaking against Paul and the doctrine of Christ that Paul taught. They thought they were pretty smart people. He says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. I'm more of a minister than they are. I'm going to talk like a fool here. I'm going to boast in some things that I don't have any reason to boast in. They declare that they're a minister. Are they more of a minister than I am? That's what he's saying here. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys, often. In perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness, often. In hunger and thirst, in fastings, often. In cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what come upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble, and I do not burn with indignation? Makes me angry, he says. Makes me angry when somebody puts a stumbling block in the way of the children of God. Makes me angry about these who call themselves ministers and they're not ministers. It makes me angry about those who say you have to be circumcised in order to be saved. We settled that long ago. That's what he's saying. God never said that. God never gave that stipulation. We've shown the truth on that, and it makes me angry, he says, that people are still teaching this false doctrine and placing these stumbling blocks in your way. If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. Now that infirmity is explained to us in 2 Corinthians 12 and verses 7 through 10. Paul's particular infirmity was what he says was a thorn in the flesh. What was that? Nobody knows. We can have all kinds of speculations, and you can maybe come to some reasonable explanations of that, but it doesn't matter. It was a thorn in the flesh, and Paul considered it to be holding him back from being all that he could be in proclaiming the gospel. It limited him to some degree in being able to teach and present himself to others. He says, I prayed to God three times that this might be taken from me. And the Lord finally spoke to me and said, isn't my grace sufficient for you? Isn't the fact that you've received the gift of salvation enough, Paul? And God could have stopped right there, but he didn't. He went on to explain. He said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. You continue to serve me, Paul. You continue to love me and keep my commandments. You continue to defend the faith. You continue to teach the truth. You continue to burn with indignation towards those who place stumbling blocks in my children's way, just as I burn with indignation about that. So in spite of your infirmity, and that's evident. It's evident to all who see it. It's evident to the believers. It's evident to the unbelievers. It's evident to all that you remain faithful to God in spite of your thorn in the flesh. You continue to serve me. You overcome the obstacles. Yes, look at all. You were in prison. You were in the deep. You've been beaten. You've been brought to the point of death. And you continue to love God and keep his commandments. You continue to remain focused on the one thing. Paul said, most gladly then, I will glory in my infirmities, that the power of God might be seen in me. That's what he's saying. If I'll boast of anything, I will boast concerning my infirmity. Another passage you're familiar with, 2 Timothy chapter 1. And verses 7 through 13. That shows to us that in spite of Paul's suffering, he remained focused on the one thing that matters. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. I might be preaching a sermon just on verse 7 here sometime shortly. God has not given us a spirit of fear. If you're watching the news and spending a lot of time watching the news, you're afraid about a lot of things, aren't you? That is by design. They want you to be afraid. But brothers and sisters in Christ, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Spirit of being afraid. God has told us, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. There are people who want to shut up Christians. There are people who want you to be quiet. And be afraid of them if you don't. God has not given us that spirit. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Timothy, you're a preacher. You're working with a local congregation. You're teaching what you have learned from God. That's what I've been teaching, and I'm in prison. Timothy, you might find yourself in prison. Don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of what I teach. But share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know I am whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed to Him until that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. Paul was in prison for teaching the doctrine of Christ. He says, well, where did the Philippian letter come from? It came from prison. Where did this letter come from? From prison. It didn't keep him from teaching Christ, because he knew that he was going to receive the reward of the inheritance because he continued to serve Christ the Lord. He continued to remain focused on the one thing that mattered. The persecutions, the imprisonments, the trials and tribulations that he experienced were real, but he remained focused on the one thing that matters, and we must also. Paul was certain that the faithful have an eternity in heaven. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, he says, for we know, not we think, not we feel, we know that if our earthly house, this tent, this physical body is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We'll talk about in chapter 15 how that this mortal will put on immortality. It's going to be changed. We'll inhabit a spiritual place and a spiritual body for all eternity. We don't think this. We don't feel it. We know this. He was certain of it, and we can be also. Again, Philippians 3 and verses 20 through 21 says, our citizenship is in heaven. Paul was a Roman citizen. He says, my citizenship is in heaven. He was writing to those who, some of them were Roman citizens, some of them weren't Roman citizens. The gospel is for all nations and all people and all languages and all races. We're thankful that we live in a country built on a constitution that was written by men who revered God, His principles of truth and righteousness. And upon that, granted liberty to all men. But our citizenship is in heaven. Not all Christians live under the Constitution of the United States. Not all Americans honor and respect the Constitution of the United States. We have Christians throughout the world who live under brutal circumstances. They live in communist countries. They'll be put to death if it's found out that they're worshiping God, serving Christ. But Christians continue to do that. Your brothers and sisters in Christ in other parts of the world are struggling under difficult government circumstances, but they continue to serve Christ because they realize their citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. Paul was certain that he had a heavenly home, and we can be certain of the same. Paul was certain of his salvation. If you ask Paul, "Are you saved?" he wouldn't say, "Well, I think so." He wouldn't say, "I hope so." He wouldn't say, "I feel that I'm saved." No, that's not how he would answer that question. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, he says, "For this reason I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." That was Paul's way of saying, "I know that I'm saved. I know that I love God and I am keeping the commandments of Christ. There's a lot of things that I'm uncertain about in this life, but there's one thing that I am certain of, and that is that God is real. That Jesus died to pay the price of my sin so that I might live in Him and with Him here and hereafter." In chapter 4 and verses 6 through 8, he said it this way, "I am already poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but to also all who have loved His appearing." If you love the birth of Christ, the life of Christ, the death and the resurrection of Christ, you will keep His commandments. And in keeping His commandments, you have the assurance of salvation and of a heavenly home. Paul was certain that he was saved. Yes, life is uncertain. As James chapter 4 and verse 14 says, "You know not what shall be tomorrow." We do not know what's going to happen tomorrow. No one knows. God knows. God has been with us in the past. He is with us now. He will be with us in the future. But you can be confident and face the uncertainties and challenges of today and tomorrow if you are in Christ and He is in you. Galatians 3 and verse 27 says that we are baptized into Christ. Acts 2 and verse 38 tells us that we are baptized for the remission of our sins. Jesus says that all who believe and are baptized will be saved. You can be confident of that. You can be confident of that. And you can be just as confident that if you do not believe and you are not baptized, you will not be saved, but will be condemned. You don't want that. God doesn't want that. He is only willing that all men come to repentance. He believes you can do it. I believe you can do it. And I realize that we're all sometimes like Moses and says, well, who am I that I can always resist temptation and I can always live to the glory of God? Have not I commanded you, God said? You can do it because I'm with you. We can face the uncertainties of challenges of today and tomorrow if we let Christ be in us. In John chapter 14, we look at this passage from time to time, and I always enjoy turning to it and reading it. Let him speak to me from his word. Jesus said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. He will hear my words. He will revere them. And he will practice them in his life. What happens if we do that? And my Father will love him. And we, my Father and I, will come unto him and make our abode with him. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and are heavy laden. And here he says, all who love me and keep my commandments, my Father and I will come to them and make our abode with them. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I have given you a commandment, and I'm going to be right beside you, helping you keep those commandments. Be certain of who you are. In uncertain times and in troublesome times, times that we are troubled about many things, stay focused on the one thing that matters. Love God, revere God, and keep his commandments. If you're subject to the invitation this morning, we'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.